tonight, if you would grab your Bible, open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you are turning there, just want to let you know that I've been super excited as we have been going through 1 Corinthians. Over the last several weeks, Paul has really been encouraging, you know, for us it's the last couple of weeks, and him it's just his letter, right? But in his letter, he's been encouraging the church to be unified. And he's cautioned them in many ways on allowing divisions to come amongst them. It's almost like he knew that, Christians allow divisions to come amongst them, right? Seems kind of strange. No, not at all, right? We see it all the time. But the thing is he is encouraging us that because of Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit, we should be united. There shouldn't be, and we shouldn't be allowing things to come between us. And so today is going to be no different. He is going to challenge us in the passage that we'll look at to be unified. And the challenge comes even in the midst of diversity. I look across this room, people who are gifted in multiple different ways. There are some of you who are shy and hold to yourself, but you are just as vital as the one who is outgoing, who is bold. And I just want to tell you, as we dive into the Word, it is my prayer that wherever you're at, however you are gifted, whatever your past has been, that you will see that as we surrender to Jesus, He will use us. And I preface it in that way on purpose. As we surrender to Jesus, because otherwise, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And it's important for us to realize that. Because otherwise, we will start to think that we have enough, we are enough, we're good enough, and we'll do it apart from Jesus. But Paul has encouraged the church at Corinth, and I believe encouraging us, don't try to do it on your own. You are not good enough. You are not, you don't have it figured out. You need Jesus. And so he is at work and constantly at work. Today we are going to look at a way in which he describes the church. And he describes the church in the body or as a body of Christ, which is there are multiple members, but yet one body. And he started this discussion last week as we were beginning in the first part of chapter 12, and we'll continue. So to understand this picture, though, I'm asked often about, you know, why does your church do membership? What is membership? Is it even in the Bible? Why do we do that? There's a lot of churches that do not do church membership. And so today, it is my prayer that at least there'll be a little bit of understanding as to why we do that. Though it is not commanded in Scripture, I think it is implied in many different ways. I'll give a few just in the way of thinking, why do you do church membership? The first one that I want us to see is we see just the call to submit to leaders or leadership implies church membership. So in other words, if you are commanded to obey your leaders or to submit to leaders, then what leaders do you submit to unless you are a part of a local church body? Are you to submit to the leadership of the church down the street? And so I think it implies church membership. To Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. If I am going to have to give an account for how I keep watch over the souls, then who am I going to be given an account for? And so it is a way in which we can at least acknowledge or a way to discern who is a part of, who ultimately then will you submit to, the leaders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. So again, it says to respect those who labor in teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." I think that just the submission of leadership is a, at least implies, church membership. Second thing I want us to see is that just the responsibility that elders have, elders, overseers, leaders within the church, implies, for a flock, implies that. So because there is a flock, there must then be a leader, and just the responsibility that leaders are given implies membership. So Peter calls elders to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, referring to those in your charge. And so it implies. A third way is even church discipline. So if Matthew 18 would point that if you have someone, someone has done something against you, you're to go to them. If they sin against you, you're to go to them one-on-one. The reason for this is not to, with a finger pointed at them, hey, you're a horrible person, right? But more so in the way of restoration, that we love one another, so we're to go to them. Let's say they don't repent, they're not going to honor the word of God, then you're to bring someone with you. And if they still do not honor that, ultimately it says you're to go to the church. And the church would then be the authority to make the call as to what has happened. It is, God loves you so much, he would send a whole church to help you and to bring restoration. And if, to me, that implies membership, because if you're going to go to a church who would then be the authority, where would you go unless you are a member of a local church? And then, last thing I want to see is just the body metaphor that we're going to look at today is a clear picture. It implies that you are a membership. There are many members, but one body. And I do believe that we are called to the, we are the church, the big church, the big C, the international. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. But here we also see that every letter that is written to a local body, a local church gathering that we are to together. And so here's the call. We have a mission as a church, and that is to make disciples of all nations. Amen? And in this mission, we are to be laser focused upon that mission. And we're to do that together. And as long as we are doing that together, then the distractions, the things of the world, or the distractions, the preferences that rise up amongst us, will be easily then discerned as we are functioning as the body of Christ. And part of that is I believe God affirms his clear commands through the body. And we here at this local gathering, this church, what we do is we also affirm his direction together. So the business meeting that Scott mentioned a while ago, we gather together and we ask the Lord, Lord, show us, where, what are we to do? And we affirm that together. There is not a hierarchy, like I have a responsibility to lead, but at the same time, we are in this together. And so, as the local body, we have a clear mission, and we're to do that together. So throughout the Bible, there are clear metaphors. We see these metaphors pointing to or helping us to understand how the body works together. We see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're called the bride of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture that he's going to come for his bride? And we're called the vineyard in the Old Testament in Isaiah. In the New Testament, Jesus says that he is the vine, we are the branches, that same picture of, as a vineyard. In the Old Testament, we're called the flock, that we have God as our shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, John 10, who lays down his life for his sheep. Remember, he leaves the 99 and goes for the one. What a beautiful picture. New Testament, we see that we're called the kingdom and that we're under Christ's rule. We see also that we're a family or a household, that we are adopted as a part of the family of God. Beautiful picture of that. We're called the building. Not only is he the firm foundation that as the streams come and the winds blow, that will stand strong, but he also is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. And not only that, as we are part of the stones of this structure, we are part of the building. And then here, we are the body. And so today, as the church, you are the body. We are the church. We will leave this building and we will be the church this week as we go out into the community. Amen? Amen. And so it is important then that we understand that. And so today, as he describes the body, let us dive into the word. Let us hear, let us understand how then you individually function as a part of this collective body, unified body. If you would stand with me, just in honor of God's word as we read, we'll begin in chapter 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Man, the picture of unity. Every one of us are in the same place. Every one of us needed grace from God who would believe in him for salvation. Every one of us, because of that belief in Jesus and what he has done, we've received the one Spirit, unified together. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Father, we are grateful that you are God, and just as we have just read, that you have decided what gifts we have, we thank you for that. And we pray that in that, that we have a confidence to obey you, to enact those gifts as we live our lives. I pray that today that each one of us will see and our eyes will be open to the need to be obedient and surrender to you. And so God, I pray that in that, you would help us to fulfill the mission that you have given us. God, we love you. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. When we think of our own body, we can't help but to think of the designer. We can't help but think of the creator, the one who has made us. When we think of the order, the structure in which our body exists, when we think of the beautiful design, I think of even the eyeball and how it takes images and communicates to the brain. I think of even how our system and our bodies, if we feed them right, which I will just as a plug here, just say we're not the best at feeding our bodies correctly, but if we do feed them correctly, our bodies are magnificent in the way that they heal themselves and the way that they fight off diseases and infections. It's pretty amazing if you think about how God made our bodies. We are a miraculous body. When I think about even just the miracle of childbirth, if you have not had your own kid or maybe even been in when someone else has a kid, not to say you just walk in, that's weird, you can't do that, but when I was there as Lindsay was having our girls, I want to tell you the miraculous of childbirth is clearly on display. that the baby is born, and as it comes out, breathing air with its lungs for the first time, when it now knows to swallow and to eat, when it hasn't been, when it knows all of the things, when even the body of the mother begins to produce and do all the things that it does, miraculous. We have a good God. And I say all of that just to say, now think of the body of Christ, the church. Miraculous. That he takes some of you and me who are wicked, flawed, I mean, run after sin, rejecting a God, and yet transforms us. Not only transforms us, but places himself in us and then begins to impact other lives around us. It's pretty miraculous. When you start to think about the way that this body right here is surrounded and filled with people with different gifts of service and of mercy and of listening and of discernment and others that have gifts that man, God begins to just lay things on your heart, and prayer warriors and those who proclaim and who are bold in that proclamation. I mean, I think of, as I look across this room, people that are just flat out gifted. And it is pretty amazing. It's amazing to see how God has gifted us. But I do want to tell you that Paul here cautions us. He cautions us because I also believe at the same time that there are so many, probably the vast majority, who sit back and must adhere to the caution that he gives, because he says we must be careful to say, because I'm not like them, I'm useless. And so, the first caution. The first caution is that we have these feelings of uselessness. I'm not gifted like them, so I'm not valuable to the body. Maybe you don't have a flashy gift. Maybe your gift is not one that will be on stage. There's a reason why they don't have me lead us in singing, okay? There's a reason that now Drew has stepped away. They didn't say, hey, Chad, would you lead us in worship? That's not my gifting, right? And I just want to tell you that there are so many of us, whether it's because we have been beat down, maybe it's because of things that have happened over time, maybe it's because of even current failures, we look at the giftingness that God has given us and we says, no, he can't use someone like me. Therefore, what do? We come, we sit, we listen, we say amen to certain things, we go out, we live our lives, but we would not say that I am surrendered to the Most Holy God. And so, if that is the caution, what should we do? Here's how he describes it. He says here, in verse 15, he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. You see, sometimes we'll sit back and we'll go, well, because I'm not that, so I can't be used. Well, I'm not that, so I can't be used. And so maybe it would flesh out like this. Maybe it would be, well, because a person with foot gifts, maybe he would say, maybe a foot gift would be something that's, maybe it's something with forward thinking or a visionary, or maybe even someone with leadership skills. Well, because I'm not someone with a hand, someone who's really skilled or able to work in specific ways, maybe they'd say, well, because I'm not that, I can't do this. I can't serve in these ways. Whatever the case is, sometimes we'll sit and we'll look around and we'll start to compare ourselves to other people and we'll say, I can never do that. So therefore, I must not be usable to God. Even the mission to make disciples of all nations will say, I can't do that. I'm not even a disciple myself. And we start to downplay what God has specifically called us, instead of saying, God, I can't do that, but I can with you, because you are the Almighty God who has given us and told us and placed your Spirit in us. I don't know how, but I'm willing to step out in faith. You see, we live in a culture that just says, no, you be you. And we personalize everything. And in our small group this morning, we were just talking about hobbies that we can't do well, and so therefore, but we keep doing them anyway. And there was a couple of people in our small group that just said, well, if I don't do it well, I just don't do it anymore. And I think sometimes as Christians, we start to do that. Well, I don't think that I could do it well, so I'm not even going to try it. Yeah, God, I know you've called me to do it, but you don't know me. I can't do that. And so then we'll just not even try. And so, what do we do? Well, here's some truths that I think will help us in that. The first truth is, look at verse 15 as we talked about, well, because I'm not this, I'm not, I want to tell you that he says that you are valuable. You are a part of the body. And I just want to tell you, if I stub my toe, like, it lets me know, right? I mean, it, every heartbeat, I'm feeling it. It's crying out, hey, I'm hurting down here. And I want to tell you that, you, as a part of the body, even the pinky toe, if I stub it, it's crying out. Like, it's a part of the body. And sometimes we think of, what use does the pinky toe have? I'm not anybody. And you label yourself of that. And because of that, you don't see yourselves as vital. But you are. You are vital. You're vital to the body of Christ. I'm not calling anyone in here a pinky toe. I'm just saying, regardless of what you think you are, you're vital. I'll move on. True two, diversity is essential. Listen, even if you start to say, well, I'm not like them, that's a beautiful thing. Like, there are just life giftedness, unique giftedness that God has given you and the perspective in which you have lived and experienced him that is needed. You are vital. And I think it's important that you see that. This room is full of, there's not one of us in this room that is just like another. Even if we have similar gifts, it's going to be fleshed out completely different. And that's okay, because diversity is essential to the body. Because here's how it happens, is as we looked at last week, each of us are a part of the body and it's for the common good. And so, like, you're needed that we would grow. We even looked at last week that it moves us on to maturity. But here's the thing. If you see yourself as useless, then you don't walk out your giftedness. And then in not walking out your giftedness, there are others in this room and a part of this body that suffer because we need you. And I don't mean we need you like we need God. I'm saying God has so designed it that when we function together, we grow together and we mature together. Amen? But here's the thing. We many times stay to ourselves and we don't. And so, third truth that I want us to see is God's sovereign and wise design. God knows what we need and here has placed us as a part of the body of Christ and gifts us in ways that we need together to mature. And so what I mean by that is because God is good, because he knows what you need, that he has people right here in the giftedness of who he is. He says he positioned us or he gave us gifts as he so planned. Let me find it. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. Sorry, that's not where I was wanting to go. Verse 18, it says, as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. And I just want us to see, God is good. And sometimes I think, what we do when we are not obedient, we say, God, you messed up, or God, you can't use me. And what we do is we question. We question the plan of God in doing that. So, caution number two. Not only do we say, I'm unusable, but the next caution is that we will say, we will have a feelings of independence, and so ultimately what we're saying is, I don't need them. I don't need anybody else. And so then what we do is we isolate. And we make this whole Christian walk about me. I can do this from home. I can do this on my own. And we're not interconnected to the body. And we try to just do this on my own. Or what we think is like, you know, I'm sanctified enough. Like when I look around, I compare myself to other people. You know, I've grown enough. I'm good enough. And so we're not pursuing what God wants us to pursue. And I think that sometimes how this fleshes out too is we're just fake sometimes. Can I be real for a minute? Like we are just sometimes we'll just wear the mask. We'll put on the Sunday morning mask. We'll walk into church and, how you doing, man? I'm doing great. I'm blessed. How are you? Right? And we come. On Wednesdays, I love going to Celebrate Recovery. And it's just a place that is so designed. My wife's like, why? But why there? You know, why is that? I don't know. It's just Sunday mornings. We haven't yet got to where everyone can just be us. And I'm telling you that if we will learn that, though, it will be transformational. Like if you just come in and someone asks, how are you doing? Well, let me tell you, this week has been hard. I become selfish for some reason along the way. And you know what? I have been short with my kids. I've been impatient. And I come today because I need encouragement. Why don't you just be real? And in being real, we can say, and I don't know if you've ever been a part, have you ever been a part of one of those meetings, like a small group or something, and, you know, everyone's talking about life, and someone just, for whatever, maybe they just reach this point, they know they can't handle it anymore, and they're just real for a moment. I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I don't even know if I can take the next step. Listen, when one suffers, we should be such a body that we all suffer together, but we don't. We put on our masks. I'm doing good. I'm blessed. How are you doing, brother? When on the inside, you're screaming out, will someone just love me? Will someone just pull me aside and just tell me that I'm going to be okay? Will someone remind me that he's on the throne? We need each other. And when you put on that mask, you help no one, including yourself. When I put on the mask, I don't help anyone either. It's time for us to be real. There's a mission. And I just want to tell you, the people who are walking in this world who have no hope, they want someone to be real too. They want someone to say they don't have it all together. They look at us and they say, you hypocrites, you go in there and you meet together and you act like you have it all together, but we see you. We see you when you struggle. We see you at the games. We see you out in public. You don't have it all together. It's time for us just to be real. Because when we are, we reach this place where we're like, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I can't do it apart from him. And then this mission of making disciples, we're able to walk alongside one another. We're able to, the giftedness, we're able to connect. And when one of us is suffering and struggling, those of us who have mercy, we come alongside of them. And then we point them to the Word and to Jesus and to walk with him and to trust him as we go through. We're to love one another. And I'm just convinced that there are many of us who we have not experienced God and his faithfulness to overcome sin, to overcome our fear, to give us boldness and words to say, because we don't step out in faith. We're not obedient to what he's called us to do. And I just want to remind us this morning, we were reminded in small group this morning as well, that we have surrendered our life to Jesus, like surrendered. That's what we stood and proclaimed. But to surrender, it's going to require faith. It's going to require obedience. It's going to require us to at least be real with ourselves enough to say, God, I need you. Will you lead me? Will you show me? Take off your mask. There's people in this room right now who are hurting. I know. I've got to walk with some of you. There's some, though, celebrating freedom. I wish I could tell you all the things I know when I look out across this room. There's some in here right now you're hurting so bad, it was hard for you to come here. And I just want to say, it's sad that we have not become a place, a safe place for you to say, I'm hurting. Someone let me know. Someone remind me. I need someone to love on me right now. So what do? We've got to reject the feelings that we feel. The enemy's good at saying we can't do something. We got to stand upon the promises of God that he is with us. This is the promise. This is the promise he gave. Joshua, go. I know you're scared. Be strong, courageous. I'm with you. It's the same thing that he told us in the Great Commission. Go make disciples. I am with you. I've been given all authority. Go, go, make disciples. I'm with you. And I think that it's the exact same thing we need to be reminded of today. When you think that you're useless, unusable by God, you need to be reminded he's with you. He's empowered you. He's in you. Take the step. Trust God's design. Listen, you are vital to the body's health. If some of you will listen as God, if you'll be obedient when God tells you about someone else in this room or this fellowship and just say, you know, I know this is going to be weird, but God wants to remind you that he loves you. Sometimes God, I believe it. I believe God will give you the encouragement. God will lay someone on your heart. Yes, pray for them, but why don't you go to them too? God laid you on my heart. I don't know what's going on. I don't need to know what's going on, but I want you to know I'm with you. I'm praying with you. Go to them. Man, we need you. Trust his plan and what he is doing. We have everything needed to do the mission that he's called us to right here. But when we wear our masks, we don't trust him. When we don't need others, we don't trust him. Trust Jesus. Trust him. Walk with him. Be obedient to him. He's good. Trust his plan. When you disagree with someone, and you're going to, whether it's a preference, value them. Love them enough to go to them and listen to them. Sometimes we disagree with someone and we act like they're our enemy. Listen, your enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not, especially not someone within the same body. And so go to them, love them, talk to them. And then last, will you surrender to Jesus? Will you surrender to his plan? Will you surrender to his call? We have a mission. And if we take our eyes off of that mission, we'll be distracted by other things. Oh, trust him. He's good. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word today. Help us, Lord, to be real. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to be real with others. I pray, Father, that right now that we would be less worried about what someone has to think or may say about us, and that, Lord, we would have our minds more upon what will give you glory, how we can be an encouragement to someone else, ways in which we can build up for the common good, the body that you have placed together. And I pray that right now, Lord, that you would begin to move amongst us. God, I pray that even right now that there would be some who just surrender, who just say, yes, I'll go do whatever you want me to do. And others who maybe the Lord lays someone upon their heart, I pray they get up and go to them and encourage them. And that, Lord, that we would be willing to live this life together. Help us to be laser focused on the mission that you've given us. I pray, Father, that we'd be obedient to make disciples. We'd quit making excuses. Instead, Lord, we would realize that you have called us, equipped us, go with us, and are with us right now. So, Lord, I pray that we would respond to your word with obedience. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would stand as we worship, I want to challenge you today to respond as the Lord would lead. Respond. Maybe it's in humility just to say, I'm struggling, I'm hurting. Allow others, part of your body, to come and surround you, pray for you, lift you up. Maybe you're here today and you just say, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him. You come. I would love to encourage you, love to challenge you. Respond as the Lord would lead.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind. Take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord.
Church, I love you. Hope that you have a great week. Remember, you are sent this week. You are sent by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be the light of the world. Go make him known. Love you.
There is power.